Father, your prayers tonight. We deliver a burden that we came here with. Been seeking the Lord to find when He would want it. I feel like this is the time. I suppose we've all, most of us anyway, have been given something in our lifetime that we considered valuable to us. May not have been a real valuable thing to anybody else, but we considered it valuable to us. I remember when my children were growing up, when the oldest one started driving, got her license, I went out and I bought an old 77 Buick, fixed it up real nice, had it repainted, and looked real nice. She drove it until she was able to get her car. Had a few dings on it when she was finished. Then the oldest boy came along and he got the car. It was like what they call the old battle wagon. It wasn't really what they wanted to drive, but they wanted to have a little freedom, so they drove the old Buick LeSabre. And he drove it a while until he was able to get what he wanted. And when he finished, there was some more dings in it. Then the second daughter came along and got her license, and she drove it for a while. And till she got her vehicle, and when she finished, it had a few more dings in it. But it was my youngest son when he came along and he started driving. Bless his heart, I don't think he's really changed too much since. When he finished with it, we jumped it. He had the sides, the doors caved in. He ran it in a ditch, almost turned it over and did all kinds of things. And he pretty much drives his own vehicles that way. So some of them never do get it, I guess. But I want to talk to us tonight a little bit about things that have been given to us that are valuable. I've learned through that experience that when you give somebody something, it's really not as valuable to them as if they have to go out and earn it. Whenever we have to earn it, when we have to work and use our money to pay for it, I noticed that every one of them, except that young one, the youngest one, he's 35 now, he's not so young, but every one of them took better care of their vehicles. Remember when I got mine and I had to pay for it, and I pretty much washed it and waxed it and kept it looking nice a lot because I had my money invested in that thing. And I want us to consider what has been given to us tonight. There's been a lot of things given to us that are valuable. I want to start off with the things that have, the freedom and the liberties that have been given to us as a country, as a nation. Fact of it is that when all of that developed and evolved, there wasn't any of us there. Many men and women have lost their lives over the freedom that you and I enjoy today, the liberties that we have. This great country, this great land that we've had the privilege to live in, there's been a sacrifice made. And to those people, it was very valuable. But I'm beginning to wonder how valuable that it is to us today. I'd like to read some things to you that I got a hold of. Our founding fathers, it was very valuable to them whenever they began to set up this foundation of this country and they called upon God for divine guidance and direction. John Quincy Adams, you probably heard of him. I think he was the second or third president of the United States. And he made a statement, and he said, posterity, which is you and I, those that come behind them. He said, posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope that you will make good use of it. Thomas Paine, in 1776, he said, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Our very political superstructures stand upon the critical bedrock of cherished biblical principles. In 1776, a republic was born, not a democracy. We think of America today as being a democracy, and so it is. But it was not the intention of the founding fathers for this nation to be a democracy. It was to be a republic. You know, on the republic for which we stand, a republic ensures individual liberty, elected representatives, and limited government. A democracy is where half plus one can squash the rest. Where a fanatical majority can deprive the individual of his rights, his life, and his property. That's what a democracy is. Plato, you might have heard that name. He said, he warned that unrestricted democracy must result in a dictatorship. I noticed the other night, Brother Ed said that we are sliding and we are going that downward direction, and he doesn't believe or feel that there's going to be a return back. I don't either. Probably most of us don't. We don't value dearly what we have been, what has been handed to us. It isn't so precious to us as it was to those that sought God and sought direction and settled this country with a great vision and was asking God to govern them with His divine providence. But folks, I want to remind us tonight that we still need God's divine providence. We still need God's divine protection. We need His help. We need His mercy tonight. We need His mercy upon our lost loved ones, upon this world, but upon our lost loved ones, our friends, those that are not saved, those that are out of the ark of safety. Now I'm reminded of a man that Jesus spoke of in the New Testament. He talked about a rich man that had a beggar there at his gate. And he said the rich man died. We know the story, and I won't turn there. But he said the rich man died and had a conversation with Abraham, didn't he? And in the middle of that conversation, he asked Abraham, he said, send Lazarus back to my five brothers because I'm in a place of torment and I don't want him to come to this place. Now, when that man was living, it didn't say that he was a vile man or a bad person, but he enjoyed the best things in life all of his life. Had what he wanted, got what he wanted, and enjoyed those things and never gave any real thought to the value of his soul or where he was going to spend eternity. And he said, send them back and tell him to talk to my brethren. And Lazarus, or Abraham, you know, told him, he said, if one rose from the dead and went back, they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't believe him if one rose from the dead. Well, Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Now you and I tonight, we have the Word of God and we have the ministry. We have people today that are still preaching the Word and teaching the Word to us, and we have that, and it's precious, and I value that, and it's important that I take heed to the wisdom and the guidance that God gives those that have set to be ministers and leaders over us. Not that they're any higher, not that they're any better, but the Scripture does say they are watchmen on the walls. So they're up there where they can see the enemy and see what he's doing. Now he said they have Moses and the prophets. And I want to read a verse of Scripture here. And it's from Moses. In the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 19th verse, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I want to tell us tonight, folks, that it's been given into our hands something precious. Something valuable has been given into our hands. I'm amazed when I think about God giving you and I the ability to choose. We can say no to God and He will accept that. We can reject God. We can say, no, I don't want you in my life. And that's power that's we just can't hardly control. It's power it needs a control. It needs something to govern the power. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Folks, tonight I want you to know that life and death has been set before every one of us. And he said, choose life that you might live. And I want to choose life. And I know every one of us want to choose life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if I want life everlasting beyond this world, I must choose Jesus. I must choose Him. He's the one that I must choose. And I must have come into my heart and life. But he said here, he gave them something valuable, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now this was from Moses. This was Moses' day. They got Moses and they got prophets. He said, let them hear them. Folks, tonight I want to tell you this, what this meeting is all about. God is dealing with us. He's working with us. He has something valuable. He has something precious. And He wants every one of us to get a hold of it. He wants every one of us to see and understand what is waiting out there before us. And He wants us to value this thing. And He wants us to do something about it. He wants us to do something about it. I thought about several times what Brother Mark said. He said, he used to say that if you want to go to hell, he said, you don't have to do anything. But he said, I thought about that and I realized you've got to trample over the mercy of God. You've got to reject His word and you've got to reject His Son if you want to go to hell. There's another man that I want to quote now. His name was Thomas Jefferson. And I know we've all heard that name. His quote was, my God, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings that they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoy. My God. Folks, tonight my heart is saddened by many things that I see today. It's saddened by many things that I see going on around me. Things that I see going on around us. My God, how little do we value the precious blessings that we are in possession of. It's been given to us and it's been put in our hands. And you and I, everyone tonight, are making choice of what we're going to do with it. And I know that there are many different reasons that people come to Monarch. We come to Monarch to socialize. We come to Monarch to see our friends, to be with those that we haven't seen or been with for a while. We come for all other reasons. I know that I drove 900 miles years ago all the way down to La Ronja, Louisiana from my house, supposedly to see my brother and visit my brother that passed away just last month. My sister talked me into driving, following him down there to see him, and there was a camp meeting going on down there. And I sat in 2 days of that meeting, and I was the most miserable person on earth. And the Lord got a hold of my heart, and he saved me there. And I'm thankful for that. We may come for many other reasons, but I want you to hear tonight. I want you to know and understand, folks, that what is right here waiting for every one of us is the most valuable, precious thing on earth. The most valuable thing that we can possibly get a hold of is getting a hold of Jesus and having him in our hearts and in our lives to change us and to help lead us through this dark world that we live in. It's waiting right here for each and every one of us tonight. Folks, I hope that we see the value of it. But I want to say it's in your hands. The only thing the preacher can do is just tell you. But we pray and trust that the Holy Spirit will take the feeble words and take the message to your heart and help you to understand, folks. Now, I read to you what the founding fathers said about this nation when it was first beginning. And look at the nation now. Look how people value their freedom now. They're trashing this nation. They are not holding the things that are valuable. They're not. The morals are declining in our country. The whole thing is fading and going down the tube, so to speak. Folks, people don't value this. They didn't live in that time. They didn't fight for it. They didn't die for it. They didn't give their blood for it. It's not valuable today, but there's someone that gave their blood for you and I. Jesus gave his blood, didn't he? He gave his blood for something that you and I can enjoy, not only here, but when we draw our last breath, we can enjoy it forever in eternity. Folks, that's valuable. I don't know of anything more valuable than that. That's something that is so valuable. And it's waiting right here for each and every one of us tonight. I'd like to look at another scripture found in Matthew 16th chapter. Jesus' words. Verse 24, familiar. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now we notice that people are taking many different directions in life. They're going many different directions. But the Lord tells the disciples and tells you and I here tonight, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. What I want to get to is, he said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want us to think about that. I want you to think about that for just a little bit. What are you willing to trade your soul for? What are you willing? What is so precious to you? What is so valuable to you in this world? What is the thing that you just hunger after and you follow after and you just need it and want it so bad that draws you away from God and is more important to you than your eternal soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul tonight? What would you give? Well, there's been men and women made a lot of choices in life. And I'm thinking about a couple of entertainers in particular. They enjoyed fame, money, favor. fortune. They pretty much seem like you had it all. I got on, when I was having some of these thoughts, I got on the internet because there was a song that I wanted to get a hold of. And I want to read that song to you tonight, young people and every one of you. And I want you to think about what's valuable. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Something to consider, isn't it? There's a lot of valuable things that people put great value on in this world. But there's nothing more valuable than the soul. It's eternal. It's eternal. The things of this world are going to fade away. They're going to burn up. But the soul. And we all have one, don't we? We all have a soul. I thought about, and you young people won't know who I'm talking about, but many here will. Remember old Blue Eyes? They called him Frank Sinatra. And then another one that I checked on, Elvis Presley, the king. I got a niece at home. She still says to me, Uncle Larry, he's the king. And I said, Vicky, let me tell you something. He's dead. But I'll tell you who the king is. And he's alive and sitting on the right hand of God today. He's the king. You see, we lose our perspective as we go along the way. When we follow the things of the world and the path of that kind of a life, we lose our perspective here. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? This, my poor niece, she's got memorabilia of all kinds of things of Elvis Presley. She knows his birthday. She just practically worships a dead man. But I thought of him and Frank Sinatra. And I remember the song that they sang. And I want us to hear it tonight. I'm not going to sing it. You're blessed there. But the name of the song is My Way. It touched me very deeply when I found Frank Sinatra and he was singing it. Before he started singing the song, he said, you know, he told the audience, he says, everybody ought to really ought to stand up because this is my national anthem. This is my national anthem. My way. And now, the time is here. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. I wonder tonight, how many of us are doing it our way? Jesus said, I'm the way. But I find people serving God on their own terms. Serving God on their own terms. I see many going out there and doing things that they know they ought not to do, but somehow they justify themselves and put God around it and it's all right. That isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Choice. Folks, you're looking at one that went out into the world for 20 some years and did it his way. Now he's got a broken down body to answer for it. And I learned a lot while I was out there, things that I wish I hadn't learned, but I learned one thing that was very valuable. God can save me no matter where I get. God can deliver me from no matter what I get into or what I get involved in. And I went out there and did it my way. I did it my way. I did it my way to the point where I came right down knowing that if something didn't happen in my life, I was going to lose my wife and my four children because she'd had enough of my drinking. I did it my way. And I was about to lose everything I had. Everything that was precious to me. Elvis Presley did it his way. Oh, he had the girls screaming. They were hollering and carrying on. And I personally thought he had a very melodious voice. But folks, the man died at the age of 46. And he was way overweight. He was on drugs, barbiturates, and all kinds of things. And he lived a very shortened life. Why? Because he did it his way. He did it his way. He said, yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. Have you ever been there? You ever been out there, thought you could handle it? Thought you could control it? I'm just going to get out there and just get up just a little close to the world. I can handle it. Let me tell you something. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle the world, folks. The world will swallow you up. He said, yes, there were times, I'm sure you do, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. Pretty obstinate, isn't it? What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. I've never seen a generation any harder hearted than they are today. I've never seen a generation with a lack of fear upon their hearts, a fear of God upon their hearts today. The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. We fear God, we keep His commandments, and we glorify Him in doing that. But we want to do it our way. And I know it's natural. It's natural to the flesh. Everyone, when I got away from home and got away from mom and dad, I grew up in this church. I grew up among these people. But when I got away from home and got out there and started doing it my way, that way started taking me deeper and deeper and deeper. And it will you too. You try it. You go and try it. It'll take you too. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be music, whether it be drugs, or whatever it might be, once you start, it's toxic. It'll keep dragging you right along, folks. It'll keep dragging you right along. Now he said, I've loved. I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill and my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. To think I did all that, and may I say, and not in a shy way, oh no, not me. I did it my way. You know, I can picture the scene at the eternal judgment of God. People will stand before Him to give an account of the deeds done in this life and said, I did it my way. And their heads are going to fall when He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Because to do it your way, folks, I don't care who you are. That's me, anyone, and everyone in here tonight. We do it our way. We're not going to make it to God's heaven. You see, heaven is heaven because God is there. And God is perfection. And there's only going to be perfection inside of God's heaven. And the way of the flesh is not going to get inside there. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself Yes, I know that we've got to lay some things down. We've got to give up this world. We've got to give up those things that we think are so valuable whenever those things are leading us away from the Spirit of God and causing us to lose our very conscience of fear and respect of who God really is. And we come down to a time like this, in a service like this, in a message like this, when a message like this falls on deaf ears. Because we have no fear of God upon our hearts. I can't think of anything any sadder than that. But nevertheless, that's what's happening today. It's what's happening today. No fear of God anymore. Oh no, 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 he said. I stood tall and faced it all, and I did it my way. You see, we all have the right to do that here. We all have the right to do that. We can do it our way. Every one of us can. We don't have to listen to nobody. You don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to listen to the Word of God. You don't have to listen to the minister. You don't have to listen to mom and dad. You get to a point in life where you can do it your way. Tell you something I think is kind of comical about life. Whenever I was 19 and 20 years old and I got away from home, I thought, hey, this is great. I got my freedom and I can do what I want to do. And then the next year, when I was 21, I got married and I lost every bit of that. We think we can do life our way, folks. But it comes down, and what I mean by that is, folks, when you marry someone, you've got an obligation there. You've got a responsibility there. You've got to love them and cherish them and nourish them and let them know those things. And they're important to you. They're valuable to you. But there isn't anything more valuable, folks, than our souls. Now, Jesus paid a price. Men and women have paid a price. For this country that you and I live in today. We didn't see the battles. We didn't see men dying. We didn't see the blood running out on the ground. We didn't see the blood running out on the ground when Christ was hanging on the cross. But it did. But it did. And I just want to try to get in your mind and in your thoughts tonight, folks, something valuable. A price was paid for you and I. What are you going to give in exchange? What would you give up? What would you be willing to hold on to like that rich man? He fared sumptuously every day. Old Solomon got to the point where whatever he said, whatever my eyes saw to do, I went out and did it. I went out and got it. Whatever I wanted, I went out and got it. And Solomon got tripped up, didn't he, at the end of his life. Folks, we can't do it our way. We can't make heaven trying to live life our way. We've got to do it God's way, or else face the consequences. Face the consequences. We can say things, we can do things, we can have our way here, but the fact of it is, and the bottom line is, as Brother Carl said many times, at the end of every man's life, there's God. And we're going to give an account, every one of us, for the deeds done in his life. Now here's the last verse. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels, the record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. I wish I could express what's in my heart and mind tonight of the myriad souls stepping out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Many of them didn't have this kind of opportunity. And I wonder how much more responsible we are going to be because we've had this opportunity to have the Holy Spirit deal with us and convict our hearts of needs. And I know when this service is over, there's still going to be those that are going to go out and go home and do it their way. But folks, let me tell you, There's a seem right way, but the end thereof is the way of death. I have to tell you tonight, in the fear of God, you can go do it your way. But at the end of your life, you're going to be cast into a devil's hell. I don't want to be cast into that awful place. And I don't believe you do either. It's in your hands. It's your choice. It's our choice tonight. And how we want to live. Whether we want to live for God or whether we want to live for ourselves. Man lives unto himself. And when man does that, and he does it his way, he dies lost. Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, had no control over their spirit. They had no control over their spirit. And you and I, without the Spirit of Christ within us, we have no control over our spirit. We will go out there and be captivated by the things that the world has to offer. We will be pulled in and dragged into places that the world has for us. They got traps. I love what Brother Marty said one time. There's traps set out there, and it doesn't say TRAP above them either. But they're traps and snares that the enemy has set for poor, unconscionable souls. People that want to do it their way. The end thereof is the way of death. I'd like to read another scripture found in Hosea. That's the next book after Daniel. The fourth chapter. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Read that verse, folks. Do you see where we are today? Do you see where we are today? The Lord could very well come along tonight and say that very thing to this generation. There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We are quickly becoming a heathen nation. Because we turned our hearts and back upon God. But he said, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. Folks, I believe America's got some mourning ahead of her. America's got some mourning. There's never been a generation that was not judged that turned away from God. This one won't be either. This nation will be judged for turning their backs upon God. There was a man back, I believe it was in Richard Nixon's administration, if I'm not mistaken. His attorney general was named C. Everett Koop. He passed away, I think, this year. He made a statement as Attorney General of the United States of America and said, no nation, no people, no civilization can abort or kill 3 million babies a day and not go over the precipice. No nation, no people. You can't keep killing and killing and killing and say, God bless America. America's doing things her way, folks. She's lost sight. She's lost the path. She's lost direction. And America's doing things her way today. And she's going to suffer for it. Just like you and I are individually if we do things our way. She's going to suffer for it. We are going over the precipice. We're going over the cliff. I forget what the total is since 76 when the thing passed there in the Supreme Court. There's been 50, 60, 70 some million babies aborted in this country. They can call it what they want. They've been murdered. They can call it abortion, but they've been murdered. God looks on that, folks. Those little babies had life. They had soul. And they're going to be in God's heaven. They didn't have to make the choice that you and I have to make tonight. But we have a choice ahead of us here before us. We're going to do things our way? Or are we going to do it God's way? I tell you what, you're still going to have things to deal with in life. But when you take God's way, He's there to help you with it. He's there to help you through it. He's there to minister to your spirit. He's there to draw from, to hold on to. And He gave us a promise He'd be a present help in every time of need. And He'd be with us always, even unto the end. I want that. I need that. I need that real bad. I need the Lord in my life. He has a controversy tonight with you and I. Because there's no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's sad, isn't it? That's a sad thing to see this great nation come to that place. They call, the Bible said the day would come when they would call evil good and good evil. And they surely are doing that today. They surely are doing that. Folks, wake up and understand, as we've already heard, time is drawn down. And those things that are so valuable to us that we don't want to let go, we're going to give it for the exchange of our soul and be lost forever. And it is forever, isn't it? It is forever. Lord, help us tonight. I want one more scripture before I finish. I don't think I have to belabor this real long, but I want one more scripture. And it's the fifth chapter of Daniel. I know this is familiar too, but I want to read it in your hearing. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Folks, I think of the reveling going on in our world today. I thought I've heard that we're either on the brink or this nation is in a recession. A couple of weeks ago, wife and I let our oldest daughter talk us into going to see the ocean, and I do love to see the ocean every once in a while. We were down there on a Friday night before we left to come home. They wanted to go to a seafood restaurant on the beach. Well, so did everybody else, I found out. And they got there, and there were cars, and my wife and I was in our own separate vehicle, and I said, oh, surely they're not going to stay here. Surely we're not going to try to eat here. Not even a place to park. Well, he drove down the lane, I followed him, and the guy moved out, and my son-in-law drove by, and he pointed out the window like that, so I took that parking place. Then he came back around, somebody else pulled out, he got that parking place. There were people, when we went inside there were people everywhere. Some drinking expensive drinks, waiting on their tables. Some out walking on the beach and doing all kinds of things. I looked over on a table and I watched people with their drinks, and I watched them just enjoying all this expensive stuff. And this song came to my mind. And I turned to my wife and I said, look, they're doing it their way. They're doing it their way. They're enjoying themselves tonight. They're having a good time tonight. But the time's going to come when that's going to be over. Then what are they going to do? Oh, I wanted to run from that place so bad. We had to wait for about 45 minutes to an hour. And I said, you know, I'm not much of a McDonald's fan, but tonight I'd just take a hamburger and let's go home. But we stayed with them. Wife and I split a meal. And I said, recession? People out here spending money buying $30 meals? What's the matter with these people? Is that what satisfies? There's a lot of pretentious folk in this world today. People out there pretending that they got something they don't. I remember being in Hawaii in 1979, and I was in the swimming pool. I wasn't saved then. I was in the swimming pool there, and I heard two fellas talking there alongside the pool. One of them said, "Boy," he said, "this is great, isn't it?" He said, "I wonder what all the poor people are doing." And the other fellow said, "Well, look around. They're doing it. I don't know about you, but I'll be paying for this for the next 5 years." I remember that. What's valuable to us, folks? What's valuable? I want to put myself in debt so I can take this exotic vacation. Or do I want, am I going to exchange that for the soul? I'm not saying we can't take vacations. But what's valuable to us? What's valuable to us? These folks here reveling, drinking their wine out of their cups, having a good time. But folks, let me tell you something. I've learned that when after you do that, tomorrow comes. Doesn't feel so good then. Tomorrow comes and doesn't feel so good. And when the judgment comes, that's going to be the worst. That's going to be the reckoning time. But it says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. I wonder how many gods people have set up before them today. Things that they value more precious than the God of heaven. Gods of stone. Folks, the things that the king, I'll go back to Elvis. He's my niece's almost, she just worships him almost like a god. And he's dead. Things that we value here that are going to pass away. Wood, stone, iron, brass, all going to pass away. And it said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. I want to speak to that. This is a very natural description of fear and terror. This is what this is. The joints of the loins were loosened and his knees smote one against another. He lost control. They've learned that when someone faces a great fear and terror, that first the face grows pale. The mind becomes greatly agitated. Pains seize on the lower part of the back and the kidneys. Have you ever felt that before? I have. A universal tremor takes place. The knees are uncontrollable. And a cry of distress takes place. In their revelings and in their drunkenness, God got their attention. And he sent the part of a man's hand to write on the wall. And one of the things they wrote up there was tekel. And what does that mean? Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And I have to tell you in the fear of God tonight that after a meeting like this and the Word of God is going forth in your ears and God has dealt with your heart, and you walk away from the Word of God, His judgment will come, and I want to tell you, you will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Found wanting. We all are going to be weighed by the Word of God. We're going to be weighed by our actions. Apostle Paul tells us we're going to give an account of the deeds that is done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Paul also tells us that the Lord is coming back in a flame of fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. Folks, I can do it my way today, but one of these days we're going to do it His way. We're going to do it His way. He's going to have the final say. And I appeal to every one of us tonight. Search your heart. Search your life. What have you got involved in? What has been appealing to you? What has something been drawing you away? Have you lost the fervency of your relationship with God? Folks, I've heard a lot about relationship with God, but I want to tell you tonight, we need a working relationship with God. We need one that works. Whenever I need Him, I can get a hold of Him. Whenever I need help, He'll be there for me. When I'm in trouble, He'll be there for me. A working relationship. But I want to tell you, the world will suck the very life out of us. It'll suck the very life out of us. When you go out there doing it your way, grasping on the things that you're enjoying and the pleasures, laughing and frolicking as these people were here, and God sent a man's hand and began to write on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balance, found wanting." That king died that night. That king went out into eternity that night. You know, it reminds me of the young rich man that said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I'm not going to give it out to the people that need it. I'm not going to distribute it. Boy, I'm going to gather it in, and I'm just going to have all the abundance I can get in life." Is that your desire? The Lord called him a fool and said, "Tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee." Folks, I really believe that the Word tells us that when we reject the Lord, we're fools. We're foolish. It's foolish to go your own way. Those fellas did it their way, and I know how they ended up with their life. I know how they lived their life, and I know how they ended up in their life. There's people in eternity right along with that rich man that's out there saying, "I'm in torment in this flame." May God help us tonight. They got Moses, they got the prophets. He said, "I set before you today life and death." Folks, it's set before us tonight. It's our choice. What are we going to choose? Thank you for your time and attention.